You're probably sick of telling the story, but for people that haven't heard, just rewind to the start and how it all came about.
Well, I was just to give it a context, perhaps, the Legislative Council is currently looking at a bill or a piece of legislation that deals with our rail corridors. And we do need legislation to ensure that rail corridors can be maintained and not lost to farmland where they could have a potential future use, for example. So that's the context of what was going on.
Yep, and one of the areas that's been particularly looked at is the Cooey to Wynyard corridor.
Yes. Well, the reason we actually need some legislation is because when you look west Wiltshire, which is also in your reader area, a lot of the rail corridor has been subsumed into farmland, and you wouldn't even know where it was or where it used to be. So technically, that probably shouldn't have happened, but it has, and that's where we are. So the area west of Burnie, off the surf club area, through to Wingard, has been sort of earmarked for a cycleway. Now, I mean, there's already some cycleway along beside the railway line there at the moment between the Bass Highway and the sea and Bass Strait, and the rail line runs through there too, as we all know.
Mm.
That is not used at the moment, and the chances of it being used for freight into the foreseeable future is highly unlikely. But I'm aware of people for some time been trying to look at possible tourism rail opportunities there, like the old Tasman Limited train sort of thing on the rail, because it's a beautiful piece of coastline, we all know that.
Mm.
So, and this other proposal for a cycling and walking track, I absolutely support the concept in a health and wellbeing proposal linking up those areas. I've ridden bikes along the current area myself, and when you get to Cooey, you've got to get onto the road.
Yeah, Burnie City Council are 100% behind it as well.
Yes. So I don't have a problem with supporting this sort of infrastructure being built. But what I was hoping we would see would be a shared pathway where we could have the rail line remaining there but the bike lane and walking lane beside it. Now, I understand there are areas where there's more bottlenecks like the bridges and the culverts and that sort of area. But if you're ever going to put a train or whether it be freight or passenger train over those bridges, you would have to upgrade them significantly, in which time you would then put a rail bridge, a bike track on the side.
Yep, okay, so the legislation's gone through the lower house, it's been considered by the upper house this week, which leads us to where we are now.
Yes, and it's been the problem was the tourism and heritage rail people hadn't been consulted at all during this process. So that's a bit unfortunate and a bit remiss of the government in many views, because they do have a legitimate interest in this corridor. So the Legislative Council, and not just myself, but a number of members were quite concerned that we were passing legislation that could have the effect of seeing the rail removed and the corridor maintained, but the rail removed. And to get once the rail is lifted and substantially removed and the underneath the rail padded down and everything for a cycle track, the chance of it ever having been reinstated as a rail is very, very unlikely, even though the legislation does provide for that. But and imagine the fight that would start at that point, So I was hoping that we could see a more shared approach where, admitting at some parts you can't, that it's not there to do it, but you don't have to rip the whole rail. You can work around those areas. Anyway, so the Legislative Council, not myself, but other members have moved to adjourn the debate. I did support the adjournment because I think there are still a number of unanswered questions and there are people who have legitimate concerns and haven't had their voices heard. On Tuesday evening, I was at a social function at Parliament House for the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association, which is made up of members of Parliament. And there was a dinner, I'm not sure how many were there, but quite a number. And most of the members were there, and some of them had their partners there. And we also had a guest speaker who was Anna Burke, the former Speaker of the House of Representatives in the Federal Parliament. And I was one of the latest to arrive because we sort of sat a bit late and I had a bit of work to do. So when I arrived, there was only really one spot left to sit, and there was a seat, vacant seat beside me. I sat down, and after we'd had entree, my colleagues who were quite close around were chatting away. And the Minister, Mr. Hitting, came over and sat beside me. And I've had many discussions with Reen Hitting in the past, often quite robust discussions about matters of significance to the state. That's not unusual. And we have, we don't always agree, but we've never had a situation that I experienced on Tuesday night. But he started in a very aggressive way, suggesting that this red legislation was had to be dealt with the following day, which is Wednesday this week. And if there was further delay, that the funding, the project between Wynyard and Burnie, is subject to a funding grant at the moment for the federal government. And we don't know whether they're going to approve it or not, but it's with the federal government funding body at the moment.
Was spoken about during the election campaign.
Yes, that's right. So, because that'll be assessed through the proper process. And he said to me that if I don't support, basically don't support the progress of this bill, I'll get on with it tomorrow. The funding will just not be there; it won't flow. And
so that was a threat.
Well, it was quite threatening. He also made some other allegations about what my colleagues say about me, and also, in my view, he made some derogatory comments about one of the people I consider a key person who has an interest in the tourism rail area. And I find that offensive too, that we assassinate characters of people who are experts in their own field. And
Okay, so obviously what happened on Tuesday night was unacceptable in your eyes. You actually mentioned it in Parliament on Wednesday morning. I believe Mr. Hitting has sent you an email apologising, and you may have even had a face-to-face with him since then?
Yeah, well, on Thursday morning, the Minister, I spoke about it on Wednesday afternoon when I spoke on the bill. That was the first and appropriate opportunity for me to speak about it. And then on Thursday morning, I thought the Minister may have contacted me. I mean, he knows my number. I'm not that hard to find. And we also ran Parliament. He knows where my office is and everything. But he made no attempt to contact me, which indicated to me that either he wasn't intending to apologise or he didn't think he'd done anything wrong.
And until you raised it in Parliament?
Yes, yes. And so the next morning, he said in the lower house that he had read the Hansard of what I said and then had immediately apologised. Well, an email apology came at 10 to 10 that morning on the Thursday, yesterday morning. But it was quite a qualified apology, and it basically said if I felt offended, then he was sorry about that. He didn't take responsibility for his action, saying that he was sorry he'd done it.
But if the offence was taken face-to-face, then shouldn't the apology be face-to-face as well?
Well, I did make that point, that I think a more appropriate response would have been a face-to-face apology. We did have a meeting later in the day. He did contact me later in the day after question time had expired in the lower house, and we did have a meeting later in the day, which I asked one of our clerks to attend with me. And we had a very respectful conversation. I let him say what he wanted to say, and then I said what I wanted to say. And, I mean, when these things happen, I still have an obligation to continue to fulfil my duty as he does, and we agreed that we would continue to work together, you know, as we do as politicians, to try and further legislation through the Parliament.
Okay, what's happened since, of course, is the opposition have jumped on it. They've highlighted it as being unparliamentary behaviour and, in fact, unministerial behaviour. I understand that you were seeking some legal advice on it, and I won't ask you to expand on that because obviously it's legal advice, but is it going to rest here, or is it? Will we hear more?
Well, that's the thing, Martin. I am, as you said, seeking some legal advice. I mean, if there is potential action that could be further taken, it's a decision I'll have to take. I'm not in the interest of playing politics with this at all. I've taken the action I have because I will not stand for bullying and that sort of behaviour in any form. And I'm in a position where I can speak out and perhaps more publicly than other people. I've had so many messages of support, because there are a lot of people that experience bullying and intimidation in their workplaces and in their life generally that aren't in a position where they have perhaps the position to speak out. So I've chosen to do that because, knowing the risks that brings. But I can't say what a further action may or may not be taken.
But as you say, the response that you've got from members of the public and I guess other parliamentarians as well, certainly the opposition are, at least anyway, you've got a lot of support there by the sound of it.
And some of the Liberal Party members have contacted me too.
Okay.
With expressing their concern for my welfare.
Have you heard from the Premier at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay, just thought I'd ask that one. Look, Ruth, it's been an extremely difficult week for you. As I said in the intro, I appreciate you talking to us today. It's a case of opening up the sores again and displaying them in public, but I do appreciate that, and we'll watch with bated breath to see what happens next.
Thank you for the call.